Well, it is a pleasure to be here, to be able to speak and to share. I have so much that I would like to say, so much that the Lord has been depositing into me over the past week. Probably 3 nights of not being able to fall asleep because Holy Spirit speaking and speaking and speaking, which is more than what I can speak in 30 minutes. And as Apostle Linda mentioned last month and Anna has mentioned, it's not so much about what I have to say as about what I have to impart. So that comes by the Spirit. So if you gain some understanding from the Word or if there's something that you hear that's important, but really what I encourage you to do is grab a hold by the Spirit, all that I have that God has given me that you can carry with you and take with you. Because in that sense, in an impartation, it may be this much now, but it's going to grow and it's going to expand because it comes from Holy Spirit, from His Spirit in me to His Spirit in you. So reach in and grab from the Spirit as I speak. I would love to be able to talk about this for hours, but obviously that's not a good idea. Everybody would get exhausted, as Amy knows. Thanks, Amy. That's a joke. So I just want to share with you just from the beginning a little bit of my story. A lot of you know my story, but I just would like to share because God has done some significant things in my life just in recent months. So when my husband and I got married, we got married with the notion, with the idea and the understanding that God had called us to the mission field. We had gone as short-term missionaries. We were there serving individually when we met in Japan. And so we had gone through a process to get there as individuals, and we met there. And when we met there, we became interested in each other, as you would say, me more reluctantly than him, but that's a joke of our story. But I came back from that trip, and he came back from that trip, going each to our own homes, knowing that God had called us back together as a couple. And so we continued our relationship over the next course of a year, which ended up in engagement, which ended up in our marriage, knowing that we were going to return back to the mission field together. And so when we married and we began to prepare for that, we began to understand what all that would mean. That would mean we need to have a group of people together with us that understands what we're about to do, that will partner with us in that. And so we began going through this whole process where we were learning about how to relate to other people in the body of Christ. And we had, because we were going to Japan, and we had been in Japan and we were heading back, we had a large expectation of what needed to be taken care of for us to be able to go back. There was a large amount of money. That was a large prayer team that we had to have in place. We had to have it because as we were taught that we couldn't go alone. We had to have a support base with us. And so we began endeavoring on this journey of visiting many different churches. And so we would visit with churches, and we would share about God's heart for the Japanese. We would share about God's heart for missions in general. People got to see our family. They got to know our lives. And over the course of time, we raised the support that we needed to go to Japan as a couple. And at that time, we had Sarah, and I was pregnant with Kaylee. And so as many of you know our story, that because of Kaylee, we had to come back early. And that began another waiting process for us to be able to fulfill the calling on our life to be able to return back to Japan again. And when we did finally be able to return back or even start looking towards that, now we had 4 children instead of just the 1. And so our family size was much bigger. And the requirement for us to be able to get back to Japan had more than doubled because our family size had doubled. And so once again, we began the journey of gathering the support that we needed, the support base around us to return back to Japan for the second time. Now, in doing so, especially the first time that we went through the support raising process, we had been at about 50% of what we needed to get back for a really long time, and it had stalled out. And so at one point we realized, you know what, we can't keep living life here and expecting this to pick up at any different pace. So we decided to pack up our apartment, put everything in storage, and head out on the road for a course of a year which basically meant we were out mobile for about a year. And I think in the course of that year, that was when we just had Sarah, we visited over 50 churches probably in a year and spoke in those churches and at different missions conferences and things like that. Sometimes we lived with our family, sometimes we were house sitting, but we were in transition for a whole year raising the support that we needed to go overseas. 50 churches in 1 year is a lot of interaction with different people in the body of Christ. And especially after the second time that we had raised support was when Harvest sent us out, and this was our sending church. By then, the support base that we had developed to be able to go overseas was so broad and so diverse. We had support from Lutheran Church. We had support from Methodist Church. We had support from Assemblies of God churches. We had support from churches in Montana. We had support from a church in Hawaii. We had a support from churches in different parts of Canada. And so there was so much diversity and so much exposure that we had to different people in the body of Christ that had no distinguishing boundaries other than anything that we wanted someone that was willing to hear, is basically what we said. We had contacts that helped us get there and a person of reference, but these people were just willing to hear from us, and maybe they knew us from somebody else. And over the course of that time, one of the things that we learned was we weren't there asking for money. We were there connecting with the body, and we were trusting God that He would deposit in people's hearts what needed to be there to help us get overseas. But our goal was never to go and look for money. It was never to go and look for something that we needed. We went there on assignment in service to God. And when we began to do that with full interest, just connect, 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 we raised, the first time we did that, we raised 50% of our support in less than a year. And it had taken us close to 4 years to raise the first 50%. And so God really began to show us a shift in our thinking about how we connect to the body of Christ. That there's a place where we connect, where we have a similar goal in mind, that there's a mutual connection that we have. It wasn't to benefit us. We were looking for God to provide the benefit that we needed through a mutual connection. But I tell you that even though we've been home from the mission field now since 2013, many of those people still stay connected with us in our lives. They feel that they have an investment in our family. They have a close-knit relationship with us. And so there definitely is a true connection of life that was never based on a financial support. It was never based on just praying for you while you're on the mission field. But these families have connected with us well. And it's always fun, especially around the holiday season, to get emails and cards from a lot of them, because we know what's going on in their lives, and they like to hear what's going on in ours. But over the course of time, as we were connecting in the body, because, you know, even though God was doing some things in our lives and helping us, equipping us to follow through with our calling, we also experienced some many rough things along the way. We had a couple of discouraging experiences, things that we would see in the body that really broke our hearts, things that we experienced personally that grieved us because we realized that this isn't the way that it should be. And because we were so exposed to it so regularly, we could distinguish the difference between what a healthy, whole relationship should be like and one where it was shattered, it was broken, we would pray that God would mend it because it was just sad to see. And I think that over the course of time, because there was so much that we were exposed to and because our lives were so much on display and opened up to these things, I noticed that over time that some of the times that there was rejection or hurt or anything like that on my part, that I was beginning to develop a response inside of me. And I know a couple of times we were, one time in particular, we were literally rejected. We were asked to leave based on some things that we had said that we believed. And we had to make a choice to have a clear division in the body that grieved our hearts. And I think that as a result of the hurt that was caused in the body, in the place where there was supposed to be so much mutual exchange of life, that inside of me, I began to revert a little bit. And I would always tell myself, no, I'm fine, because I'm not carrying any grudge. I'm not carrying any disdain for them. But what I really was doing was pulling away, because I didn't want to experience that again. But this summer, we made a trip to Lee's family, which is in Alberta, Canada, and we took 4 days to get there, 4 days back, so we took our journey. And when Lee and I had raised support the first time, we lived in Montana. So when we took the journey, we started heading towards Montana, and then we were going to head up just a little bit from there to Lee's family. And I noticed when we started driving that my heart began to be so drawn to the people of my past. When I used to feel like I'm just so happy I don't have to go there, I'm just so happy if I don't have to see certain people, I actually was experiencing something very opposite. I had memories, I had things come to mind that were so warm inside of me that I wanted to be back with them again. And as we got closer and closer to where we had lived for 5 or 6 years in Montana, I felt a love. I felt a drawing in to the body of Christ. And by the time we had visited Lee's family and turned to go home, my heart just, I ached because I wanted to be with them. And I knew that God had done something significant in my life, something important that was more than just a, because of all that we had learned in the past, that it was beneficial, but it was something that reflected his heart for where he has us at right now, what is coming for us, the things that we can't even begin to anticipate. And so if I can impart anything to you today, I want you to grasp the heart of God for his body, for his sheep, for those that are his. He talks very specifically in the scripture about those that are his, that we can't overlook or take lightly. And so even as my heart was totally transformed by the hand of God, I pray that that will be for you, but also even if that's not something that you think that you carry, that God would impart to us as his children the assignment of fulfilling his heart in this area, because that is something that we can walk out when we discover how God has created us as a body and what he had planned for doing that, then we can turn and we can live intentionally and not just in response to how things happen relationship-wise to us in the body, especially across differences. So on your table, I had printed Ephesians 4. I'm going to read what's there if you want to follow. If you don't want to follow, if you just want to listen, that's fine as well. It says, "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as also you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. There's just a few points today I want to bring out from there, but before I do that, in spending time meditating on this scripture and even looking into it a little bit more, I kind of rewrote it. I rewrote it as though the Lord were speaking to us, taking some of the words and using the heartfelt meaning that was there behind some of them. So if you just want to listen, this is the heart of what some of these words mean. And so it's pretty intimate when we hear it as God speaking to us. It says, come here. Come closer. You can do that, because I freed you to do so. Lean in. Think about all that I've done for you and given you. Now here's your chance to live it and prove it's true. In this new realm I let you into, you must hold each other up. Endure each other, in fact. Be eager to guard what I've created, what is a result of my own existence. And that's a oneness with me and each other. Guard it. You don't have to create it. It's my gift of wholeness. There's one body of the church, only one. One breath that gives you life. I gave you one anticipation and one expectation of your calling. You have one master, one authority, one belief. One baptism. All this is what you came into, and it's mine by design. I gave it to the whole. Then I separately gave you free kindness. You don't have to pay me back. It's my gift. And I gave it to you according to what would be enough for you. This gift is to prepare all the parts of my body to work together in proper order. When you all do that, when you reach the place of realizing this and living in it, you will naturally live mature and experience lives filled up with Christ. I know you long for this, and so do I. This is what I have planned, and this is what I want you to be expecting. Some of the meaning of some of those words is so significant. Even the attitude of the Lord when he's speaking at the beginning is one of leaning in and him telling us, I've given you this, now show it. And what has he given us? I just looked back just a little bit into Ephesians 2 and 3. And if you read the book of Ephesians, it's really clearly laid out. Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 is about all that God has given us because we are in salvation. So all the unlimited realm and reality that we have because of who we are in Christ, Paul begins to lay out in Ephesians 1, 2, and 3. And then in Ephesians 4, 5, and 6, he talks about walking that out. And so even as pastors preached, I don't know how many Sundays ago, he talked about our positional place, but then he talked about the process where we begin to walk out how we're positioned. Well, that's clearly how Ephesians is laid out. Paul tells us where we're positioned from, and then he tells us from that position, now begin living in it. And so when Paul begins talking God's heart on the body and how we're to engage, it's from that position. It's from all that we have been given. Now that we realize how free we are, now that we realize everything that Christ did to set us free, we have all that we need to begin discovering this beautiful, extraordinary realm, picture whatever it is that God created beforehand and brought us into. So even though he saved us, he brought us into his picture as a body. And so if we can see the picture and we see what we're a part of and we have the equipping to live in that, then we have the power to begin to live in a way that only the body of Christ can. There's no one else that can portray the unlimited realities of Christ except for us. And we have that potential to do so. So I'm just going to highlight a few of those things in Ephesians 2 and in Ephesians 3. This is Ephesians 2, verse 11, and I'm going to read through 17. Just skipping one little part, not much, so I'm not going to tell you. So therefore, remembering that formerly you, the Gentiles in the flesh, remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in his flesh the enmity, which is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in himself he might make the two into one new man, thus establishing peace, and might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross, by it having put to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have our access in one Spirit to the Father. And so it was through Christ's body, through his death, that the agitation and the enmity is put to an end in his body. And so when we're brought out of darkness into light and we come into his family, the enmity between us isn't there in his realm. We don't have that reality. We don't have to try to overcome it. Just like we don't have to overcome our flesh in the old, positionally, in the new, there's no enmity. We have wholeness, as it said in Ephesians 4. When he gave peace, it was God's gift of wholeness to us, that no part would be lacking. That there would be, as Apostle Linda mentioned at the leadership meeting, that word means integrity. So where does our integrity come from as the church? Well, first of all, in this day and age, we're crying out that we would be people of integrity. As we walk in truth, we would like to be seen as those that have an answer, that aren't looked as the hypocrites, as those that are delusioned and in deceit, and that have a selfish motive. But we are those that live in the pure light. Well, in God's realm, when we come into that by salvation together, the frustration and the enmity and the division and the fighting and the bickering comes to an end, when we live in that wholeness that God already provided. And then in Ephesians 3, I'll start in verse 14. Because Paul begins to pray and prophesy, and Leslie even shared some of this today in her opening prayer. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. And this is the leading into Ephesians 4, is this declaration by Paul. To him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. And so we see that what God is asking us to live in, to take on the assignment, or to walk in a manner worthy of our calling, which Paul said, we've been given through the work of Christ, and we get to discover that. When we have the revelation of that and he sets us free to live in that, then we get to discover that and all that that's going to mean for us. I know that in the days ahead that the emphasis on God's body is going to become more necessary and more prevalent. And so God is equipping us on purpose. And he's going to begin to maybe even disrupt some mindsets in our heads about what that's going to mean for us to fulfill his calling for our lives and not just ours. And some of the productiveness and some of the effectiveness of the church is going to come when we begin to surrender to that and to begin to align with our salvation and walk that out and everything that that involves. So I have a small gift for you guys today, and I want to share this so that I can speak from it, and then I want to pray over us as a group, because I, you know, the word is important, and this is the basis which brings reality, but I also know that God has some things he wants to do in our hearts today, and I want to make sure that he has a place for that. So this partly came from our leadership meeting on Tuesday. I know Sue, I made some comment about puzzles, and then Sue made a more comment about puzzles, and then in one of my nights when I couldn't sleep, I saw this, and I thought, God, you got to be kidding me. You know, he's really like, okay, so I saw the prophetic picture of all the puzzles. So I found one, this is one of my favorites. This is a Thomas Kincaid, The Guiding Light is what it's called. So this is a lighthouse on a cliff with the home. And so together last night, my family and I, we did our little assembly line and we made gifts for you guys. And I have to be honest that we are only at number 300 out of 1,000, but that's okay. The kids understand that there's 700 more to go. They called it the Fink Farmington Fair Factory. We had our, one person did one thing and one person did another, and together we were very efficient, and they were quite hilarious, as even Isaac making jokes. How can I live like this? Shredding ribbon. So Isaac's job was to curl the ribbon, and I had taught him how to do it. And after he shredded ribbon and shredded ribbon and shredded ribbon, because I have 300 of them back here for you guys, because I don't want you to take just one for yourself. I want you to take some and ask the Lord how you can spread on the impartation. And then they were funny because, so I designed these. It has, each of them has a puzzle piece from this puzzle. So this, they all come. Together, they make a picture that tells something, right? You could look at these and not know that some of them are even from the same puzzle, because that's how puzzles work. Depending on how they're connected and how they're being utilized to display an artistic work, you have to put the whole thing together to see the picture. And we could have just the house, but the lighthouse is missing, and we may not know the full story. And this was a prophetic illustration the Lord gave me late at night to show me how he has designed us. He's brought us into his picture. And he said he gave one God, one Spirit, one Lord, one baptism, and it's for his service. And we come together to build up the body of Christ until we all learn how to cooperate together. And then we become a mature man, where the fullness of God is what we experience. And so there's each a puzzle piece, and he gave me this little, you know, we've done the 1 + 1 = 1. One whole plus one whole equals a whole. Well, God gave me 999 + 1 = 1. That's because there's 1,000 pieces in this puzzle. And when you are brought in, the puzzle becomes whole. And you know, when you put a puzzle together, if that one is missing, it pretty much ruins the whole puzzle. When I was in college, I used to love to do puzzles, and my friends used to love to joke with me by taking a puzzle, putting it in their pocket, and keeping it for a few days, to the point where I knew that they had taken a puzzle piece even before I began. Well, doesn't that bring a whole different meaning to when Christ said he would leave the 99 to go find the one? Because if one is missing, it doesn't matter which one it is. The first thing you notice is that there's a piece missing. That's God's heart for his body. It says in Ephesians 5, and I have the verse, just the address on here, Ephesians 5, verses 29 through 30. It says, no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it just as Christ does the church. For we are all members of his body. That's his attitude. That's his heart. And just keeping in mind that he created this image and then brought us in. So we come into his picture and we yield to display his glory. And so I know Isaac saw that. And he goes, well, someone did the math wrong. So I got to teach them the little prophetic image. And they were so excited by the time it was done that they knew who they wanted to give one to as well. And they knew which one they wanted. So they had some picked out. So I have these in baskets for the table leaders to come give you or to bring to your table for you to have. And I encourage you that take, you know, you could take up to 10, I think, or maybe like whatever, 7 or 8. I don't remember if I divided up evenly. There's 300 altogether. So this is something that isn't just for ourselves. Remember, we're connected. And I know the Lord laid on my heart some people that I just wanted to remind the power and the promise of living in the body, even if they're not immediately connected, and even knowing that the deliverance and the healing and the wholeness that I experienced this summer, it's far more meaningful to me to remember God's heart for his body and being able to spread that. And just imagine that just as we go out and we share the gospel to unbelievers, imagine if we were the type of people that initiated sharing this dimension with those that are believers. I just want you to know I'm praying for the body. Are you a part of the body? I want you to know that it's my assignment to lift you up and pray for those that are in the body, that we might come into a unanimous consent and live out Jesus together. How powerful would it be in this day and age when there's so much division, so much else that wants to rob us of our sway, that wants to pull us. And that word in Ephesians 4 towards the end, the deceitfulness scheming, it's talking about a different kind of wind, unlike the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, like a wind that brings unity. This is God's, the part of his identity that's on assignment to bring identity. There's also one, a wind that wants to like, it's like a gust of wind that would blow us to the side, that would cause us not to be in alignment anymore, that would want to bring us off by ourselves in exclusion away from the body and have our own thing because this one isn't like us. And so that's a deceitfulness that works. I mean, if we're the bearers of truth, think about deceit. It almost always has some element of truth to it. It's either just been twisted or altered, but there's something convincing about it. And God has given us a picture and a resource. I know at the beginning of this year, Dr. David had said that 2019 would be a year of great deceit. And I think we've seen that play out in 2019. And if we think that that might only increase, as a body, we need to know that God's equipping us. He's equipping us to not have to fear deceit. And one of the ways that he's equipped us is he's given us each other. And just real quick, before I begin praying, because this is an image in Ephesians 4 that just so astounded me. It says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith. And when I looked up the meaning or the picture of those words, it meant like one would be standing over here and one would be over here. And we both turn from opposite directions and begin walking and meet each other eye to eye. So there's a place where we know there's a separation between us, and we come and we find the place where we can connect. And I think that it's going to be important for us to understand in the coming days that it's okay to have those eye-to-eye contact conversations. it's okay to know that we can come together and say, well, I see it this way. Oh, well, I see it this way. Let's talk about it. And we come to the place where we are actually more unified than we were before, where we're so more strengthened on the inside about who Christ is, because even though we didn't see eye to eye from far away, by the time we made it here, we figured out that we were actually on the same page. And I think God's going to give us those opportunities to have those difficult conversations, that we won't be intimidated, because according to Ephesians 4, that is the thing that helps bring about our maturity. That's what helps us grow, is that we can talk about difficult things together and come to a place of truth where we both have deposited in us because we both carry Christ. So I just want to pray, and I've gone over a little bit. Okay, so I want to pray for us real quick. Father, we just give you the honor and we give you the glory, because this whole thing you initiated from the beginning, Father. And who you are and all that we don't understand, Lord. You reached out and saved us when we were far off, Lord. You brought us close to you and you gave us a whole other way to experience life. And so, Father, first of all, we honor you and we thank you. I thank you for every woman in this room, Lord, and where you've placed her. Father, your presence in each person in this room, I thank you, Lord. And I speak to every spirit, and I speak to every heart, and I speak to every soul, Father, and I thank you that there's a place of wholeness, Lord, for each one of us to step into, Father. I thank you that you are cutting off all bitterness, that you're cutting off all division, Father, whether it's coming against any of these women or, Father, whether it's something they come up against in their day-to-day life. Father, I thank you that you are equipping them to walk out according to your Son and according to all that he's given us. Father, I release to them the same freedom, Father, that I experienced. I release a breaking off of any past, God, that any walls that have been developed inside our hearts, Lord, would come down. And I come against any fear, Lord, the fear that stands in our way that says that we don't understand, so we don't want to go there. Give us your heart, Father. Draw us in. Draw us into the work of your Spirit. Your Spirit's on assignment in the earth right now. Your Spirit's on assignment in the church, to bring us into this reality, because the time has come for us to become effective in a whole new way. The time has come for us to invade our circumstances, invade our own realms, Father. Even as you said that no one hated his own body, we've learned how to take charge of our body, and we're learning. We're learning how to call in wholeness for ourselves, Lord, but you're calling in wholeness for your body. Even more so, Lord. Your heart is to nurture your bride. And so, Father, we willingly surrender to whatever that means according to your plan, according to your provision. Father, we speak to the churches around the world and in this country, and we release a spirit of unity. Father, we release love. And, Father, let no one be sidelined in this. There's no spectators, Father. You've called us to nourish your bride. So we thank you for the opportunity to love on those that are different, but that are a part of your body. Father, I ask you to give us an expectancy to encounter people in your body. I pray that our eyes would be opened, that we would look for the opportunities to connect by your Spirit, to bridge, to bring a connection there, that every joint would begin to supply what is needed to bring about your will. And Father, for the places where we have not always lived this way, and for the lives of the people whom we've influenced, I speak for myself, I speak for the body, Father. Father, forgive us. And thank you that you restore us quickly. And thank you that even according to the prophetic example, that we're not cut off, no one's cut off. And I speak to opportunities to, in this natural realm, restore those relationships. Open the doors, God. Give us a place to speak boldly according to the nourishment you're giving us, that we would pour it out, God, where it's needed. Not because we want to feel good in a fluffy land where everybody gets along, but because we honor you and what you've done. We honor you. And this is your body. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.